Welcome to the Nerding Out Podcast with your hosts, Jeremy Staples and Brett Beeler.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeremy Staples. Brett Beeler is not here yet. He'll be along in a second, but we have a special guest tonight, a guy I've known since I was 13 years old. Say hi to everybody, Matt.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
Good, good, good.
I'd like to give a big old shout out to my family and Sarah and all my friends who are going to listen to this later.
Right on, right on. So, Matt, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a nerd would you say you are?
I'm a big old 15.
Big old 15. See, I was expecting the normal like 11, like people say, but 15, that's great. I'm unchartable to how much of a nerd I am. I'm a huge nerd. That's why I'm doing this right now, this here podcast. While we wait for Brett, I guess we'll get right into the topics. You're a gamer, right, Matt?
I'm a big PS3 fan myself. Can't wait for the PS4 to come out, but we'll talk about that later.
What kind of games do you like?
Oh, I'm into everything. Sports games, Madden 25. I just started playing with a buddy of mine. Skyrim. I just picked up Batman Arkham Asylum, and I'm going to get the Arkham City here in a bit after I finish Arkham Asylum. And can't wait for the new Batman to come out, which is Gotham City. You know, any types of games I'm really into. I like the RPGs, you know, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. If only Halo was on the PS3 versus the Xbox, I'd be playing that too.
Nice, nice. My co-host Brett, he's a huge Halo fan, and he's actually going to side against Xbox for the upcoming console war, which I know kind of hurts him a little bit. He doesn't like to admit it, but it does. But the game I want to start off by talking about is GTA 5. I think it was yesterday morning they released the official trailer for this game, and it looks awesome, as everybody would expect it probably would. I've been waiting for this game for way too long now. I'm just glad that it's almost here. What, a little over 2 weeks now, 3 weeks, and it'll be in my hands. And is that one that you're looking forward to?
I played all, like, 1 through 4, Vice City, all those. I'm a huge GTA fan, and I would love to get this new game. I did see the trailer and put it up on the Nerding Out podcast Facebook page. I watched it off of that. And it looks amazing. The graphics are immense, even on YouTube. It does not give it justice. I'm sure on the PS3 or the PS4, whichever one it'll actually come out to, the graphics will be amazing.
Yes. What do you think about the three protagonists in the game? You know, switching between the three characters. Are you excited about this new update?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. You know, switching between characters. You know, you don't have to just play with one character. That looks like it'll be fun.
Have you seen the trailer for the multiplayer for the game? First off, are you big into like multiplayer games?
Oh yeah, multiplayer games. I do. I haven't heard about a multiplayer platform for it. That'd be awesome to see.
Yes, it's basically like they took GTA 4. And Max Payne 3's multiplayers and just, like, expanded them beyond belief. And it looks pretty cool, and people are seem to be more excited about that than they are the main game itself.
That sounds pretty awesome.
So our trusty friend Brett Beeler has just joined us. Say hi to everybody, Brett.
Hey.
So what excuse do you have for these people for being late?
Smoking.
Smoking. You know that shit's going to kill you, right? You know it'll kill you faster?
I'm going to quit soon.
Yeah. Says everyone.
I give it, watch. Okay, I'll make you a challenge right now on air.
Okay.
In 2 weeks, whenever I get back from my Disneyland trip, I will quit. And we'll see how long I make it.
And like I would ever have proof that you're actually holding to your word.
I'm an honest man. I am offended, good sir.
all right. So let's first off, Brett, did you get a chance to see the official trailer for GTA 5 that was released 2 days ago or yesterday, I believe?
No, I'm really lame and I don't watch trailers right as they come out. I wait a long time. I only just recently watched the GTA Online trailer, which was pretty fucking badass. And I'm super excited, even more than I was before for the game. So I'll probably watch the trailer here in the next few days, though.
Definitely should. It's awesome. If you've seen all the other trailers that are out there, you've seen most of what's in there. But to see it all pieced together like they did, it's got me excited. I give it 4 boners out of 5. All right, so let's move on here. Brett, you're a Borderlands 2 fan. What about
yes.
you, Matt? Matt, do you play?
I've played Borderlands 1 on the Xbox. I didn't really get too heavy into it, but the graphics are pretty amazing. I like the comic book graphics on it. I have yet
yes.
to try Borderlands 2.
Brett here and my wife are both obsessed with this game. She has put like way more into that game than she has you know, our marriage. So to the point where I feel jealous of this game. I wake up yelling this game's name in my sleep. Needless to say, I've seen a lot of Borderlands 2 being played in my household. So as you might guess, they have announced a Game of the Year edition that they're going to be putting out with all the DLC, like you'd expect. So for you, Matt, this I think this would be perfect for you, for somebody who has not played 2 yet, and you get everything in the entire package for the same price as the initial base game. Brett, so I know you played it. Did you ever get a chance to play any of the DLC for it?
I actually did not. I never bought any of the DLC. I had all of the DLC for 1, but I never bothered to buy them for 2. I guess in the back of my head, I probably knew they'd do a Game of the Year edition eventually, because, I mean, they do it for every single game that's, you know, a AAA title anymore. I never played it. I played the base game all the way through all the endgame content, and I kind of got bored at that point and quit playing. So the DLC would definitely pull me back in.
Yes. When I bought Bethany the game when it came out on release day, I got her the season pass, but that didn't include the last piece of DLC that they just released. I forget which one it was. Krieg the Psycho character class, and there was a couple other character classes, I think, that were not released on it. So she was a little bit upset about that, so I'm eventually going to have to buy it for her. But for anybody who has not played this game, this is the one for you. Why spend $60 on an inferior version when you can get this? Moving on. A little bit of news came out this week for the Elder Scrolls Online, how it's going to have the paid subscription service. But, you know, I guess both Microsoft and Sony are saying that all their games, they're going to have a multiplayer pricing, if I'm reading this right. Have you seen this, Brett?
Yeah, I have seen it, and I think that Bethesda is kind of shooting themselves in the foot. Like, I don't know how many MMOs you've played. I'm not really into the free-to-play ones that much. I played DCU online a little bit. I bought Star Wars The Old Republic and only played it for my first free month and then quit playing. I couldn't even make it all through, like, the first 20 free levels of WoW. I think I got to, like, level 7 in WoW. And I don't know. This could have been a really good free-to-play one. I think every other free-to-play game is almost kind of a rip-off for the most part. They're pretty cheesy. And I get they need the income to make it even better and continue on. But I think there are different premium ways of doing that without locking the game completely behind a paywall.
Yes. You mentioned Skyrim before, didn't you, Matt? Is one of the games that you enjoyed playing?
Absolutely. I've played Oblivion and Skyrim, and those are immense games. Now, my opinion on this whole new thing is that they're trying to pretty much buy their way in, much like Fable did, but they're actually making people buy their way into the MMORPG, from what I'm gathering. I don't know if you're reading anything differently, but it sounds to me like that.
Yeah, it seems that I think that they came out with the pricing was going to be $12 a month for this game. To me, it's worth it. I'll probably pay to play it. I love me some Elder Scrolls, so yeah, they got my money.
Either you guys either ever play Morrowind by chance?
Yes, I did. How about you, Matt?
No, I did not.
Morrowind is by far my favorite of them. I'm pretty sure you can find it for the original Xbox and it'll run on the 360. You should definitely check it out, man.
Yeah, it's a great game. Admittedly, because it's so old, it's a little bit jarring to get past the graphical differences, as it is with any of those games you go back and play. But it is definitely worth your time, especially if you liked Oblivion. Pieces were very well into that one. All right, so next up. So, is everybody as excited as I am about Arkham Origins already?
Yes.
Brett? Yes. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Absolutely.
So, the trailers look great, and I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for the exclusive, what is it called, Blackgate Prison edition of the game that's going to be released for both the 3DS and the Vita. This game looks awesome, and it makes me wish that I had a portable gaming device. The way that they're doing the cutscenes, that they're all they look like panes from a comic book, kind of like a motion comic. It looks fucking dope. Have you guys seen the trailer for this one?
I actually have not.
Yeah, me either. I tend to ignore the handheld games. I haven't played handhelds in a long time. Nothing against them. I've thought about getting a 3DS myself when the price comes down. Not really interested in the 2DS, if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
But because I don't play them, I don't really pay attention to the games that are coming out for the handhelds.
Yeah, I think the last handheld game I bought was one of the Assassin's Creed games that came out. I want to say it came out right after 2, and I played it for a little bit, got bored, put it down. Other than that, the God of War games I played back before my ex took my my PSP, RIP PSP. But no, this game looks great. I really like the comic style, like I was saying. Yeah, definitely. And I'm a Batman fan, so of course I have to eventually try to play this one. So, me and Brett have both had, serious debates about the Xbox One versus PS4. I'm more moderate, but I'm leaning PS4. He is completely against the One and is going to be buying the PlayStation 4. Where do you stand on this, Matt?
I'm a big PS fan myself. Sony has done amazing jobs, being the first company to really bring out Blu-ray games. It's really going to surpass. And it just seems like Microsoft is just copying everything that the PS3 did and then adding in some stuff that the PS4 has as well.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on the voice command and the motion sensing menus and such that the One is going to be using?
Well, it seems like it's going to be the same thing as the Kinect. They're just integrating it into the system and selling it all as one versus actually, selling it as separate pieces, which is pretty cool. Voice commands would be pretty awesome for those games that you know, like football games where you can call out moves and call out blitz and stuff like that. But, you know, you got buttons for that anyways, right?
Yeah, true. Do we need to touch on this anymore, Brett? I know me and you have discussed this at length.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't want to say I'm coming around because still fuck the one, such a stupid name. But, you know, eventually I am a gamer at heart. So eventually down the line when it's cheaper, probably at least halfway, maybe a little bit past through this current about new console generation we're heading into, I might get one down the line. But as for launch, PS4 all the way.
Definitely. I think we're all in agreement on that one. All right, so that's it for the gaming news. Let's move on to some TV. Matt, do you watch Dexter at all?
I've watched maybe two or three episodes and never really got too far in depth into the show.
Well, we're now into the final season, and we're down to, I believe, the last three episodes. Am I right about that, Brett?
That would be correct.
Yes, final three. So I guess me and Brett will talk about this one. The episode that aired on this past Sunday night, have you had a chance to watch it yet?
I have, and I watch them all the night they air, that and Breaking Bad. And, you know, it really doesn't feel like a final season. Without trying to get too spoilery for anybody that hasn't kept up enough, it feels like it really lacks direction. It's kind of all over the place. And I feel like the show is going to go out with a whimper more than a bang. And Breaking Bad makes it seem even worse because Breaking Bad is so good that Dexter just pales in comparison. And it's kind of sad that they both air on the same night.
Yeah, completely.
At the same time.
Yeah, so this last Sunday's episode, though, was probably the best one they've had so far. It's finally got some kind of focus leading into the big ending. And, of course, we can't talk, you know, too in-depth about this. Are you more excited about the direction this week than you were the previous?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it took too long to get there, and I think Dexter kind of did the same thing in season 6. I know a lot of people hated that. I don't hate it as much as everybody else did, but it kind of felt the same. It feels like they're stalling for time, and now they're trying to cram, you know, all the good stuff in the last few episodes. And I hope, you know, now that I've trudged through the rest of the season, that these last few episodes will be action-packed and awesome. But at the same time, I just don't have that much faith in the writers.
No. They've been kind of just phoning it in for years now. It used to be such a great show, and I was actually thinking about that this past week as we were watching this week's episode about how great it used to be. Like, season 1 and 2, one more than 2, but they were both awesome. And then we got the Trinity season. But other than that, the show has been...
I thought last season was pretty good. Season 7 wasn't bad. It was pretty good. It kind of felt like it was, you know, steering. It definitely felt like a second-to-last season, as much as this season hasn't felt like a last season. I liked it. It was pretty good. 5 is complete throwaway. 6, except for the finale, was pretty throwaway. And unfortunately, this last season is almost feeling the same way, which is sad to say about a final season.
Yeah, about a show that we've invested so much time in. It's kind of sad. All right, so off of Dexter and right to Breaking Bad. The last Sunday's episode was so fucking awesome, as, you know, everybody knew it probably would be. It's goddamn Breaking Bad. I want to start off by getting your opinions on the episode, Brett.
Okay, I think we'll put out a spoiler warning here because I don't think we can talk about Breaking Bad without talking about the details of the episode.
Yes.
So, I mean, it was such a good episode. I mean, everything about it was, I mean, top-notch. The whole dinner scene followed by the confession tape where Walt films himself basically accusing Hank of everything. to the ending with Jesse pouring all the gasoline and even the entire episode, how he got to that point. It's just, it's a thing of beauty, man. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, the moment as Jesse's standing and waiting for his ride to show up to, you know, whisk him away to, you know, his, you know, new life, and he's standing there waiting, and he opens up that pack of cigarettes and sees that the poison's gone out of the pack, and he puts everything together in his mind, and just the look on his face as he's, everything's, like, starting to fire.
Here's the thing that was actually so good about that is, if you remember the scene before, he's in Saul's office, and he has the big old bag of pot. And Saul tells him no, absolutely, Saul kind of growing some balls. It was pretty cool to fucking see. And what he picks up on when he's waiting for the ride is that his pot is missing. And he realizes that Huel lifted it off of him, and so he thinks back to the last time Huel frisked him, and then he realizes as he's staring at the cigarette pack. It's just rising action. It's just so good. Like, Vince Gilligan is a fucking genius.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the correction there. You're right about how that went down. Then, of course, like I was saying, Jesse realizes that, you know, it was Walt all along, you know, poisoned Brock, you know, back, was that 2 seasons ago? Or was that last season?
That was the end of season 4.
Yes, that's right. It feels like 2 seasons ago because it should have been
it was a half season ago.
he puts it all together, realizes what had happened, and then that's, of course, we get Crazy Jesse to end the episode with him dumping the gasoline all over Walt's house. So I'm guessing that it's pretty easy to tell that he was the one who wrote, you know, Heisenberg on the wall that you see in the flash-forward scene at the beginning of episode 1 this season.
So here's my thing about that. Let me ask you first. Beyond that, what do you think is going to happen in the aftermath? What is about to happen with Walt? Because if you remember, Walt grabs the gun out of the soda machine at the car wash and then takes off. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that we're leading to what I've been dreading this entire time, is that Jesse gonna die. I'm not sure if it's going to happen. Jesse's going to die. There's no way around it, I don't think, at this point.
No, and the only other point I want to make real quick is in the opening shot of this half season is him in the future. It's another flash forward going into the house. And the way it looks is almost like it's condemned, not like there was some small fire, because it did look kind of burned inside, I guess. But I don't think that would, like, condemn the whole house with, like, chain-link fence off if he just lights the house on fire. So I think there might be something more, but I have no fucking idea.
Well, it depends, because they don't show the entire interior of the house. You don't know exactly how much of it is burnt, but if it's not livable, you know, at that time, you know, of course they're gonna, you know, condemn it. Like, if they say there's, who's to say it was actually truly condemned, or if it just hadn't been repaired and it's just been kind of, like, blocked up. I don't know.
I think you might be onto something with Jesse writing the Heisenberg on the wall, though. I think that's kind of maybe his way of outing Walt. So I think you're onto something with that.
Well, yeah, it's kind of obvious, I think. But anyway. Matt, we seem to have forgotten about our guest here. You don't watch the show at all. Is that correct?
I've only seen maybe one episode in the past. It looks like a good show, but I've just never been able to get into it. Now that my cable's out, I can't watch anything, really, with DVDs.
Well, it's worth picking up the DVDs of the seasons if you can. You should really be ashamed of yourself for not watching this television show. I'm just putting
it out there.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, so that's, I think, it for the TV news. But a little bit of a related story. The rumor that's been circulating, you know, nonstop the last couple weeks about Bryan Cranston possibly playing Lex Luthor in the Batman versus Superman movie. It does appear that the rumor was just that, a rumor, which makes me all kinds of sad inside. It seems like Bryan Cranston was born to play that role. What would you think about that, Brett? And I know we've talked about before, you know, the fantasy casting and, you know, when does it ever end? But if not him, do you see anybody else in that spot?
I haven't really even thought about anybody else. Like, really, he's the only one in my mind for it. And I know they said it was just a rumor, and that just means it's not confirmed, though, right? Like, it's not guaranteed that he's not Luther. There's still a chance. Am I wrong?
Well, the wording of the article that I read today was that, no, it was just a rumor, and it's not happening, at least not now. Who knows if there was enough, you know, fan interest, if they see that and are now going to pursue him for this role, which is, you know, fingers crossed. Other than that, though, I really can't see anybody else in that spot either, just because he's so perfect. Like, that, he's the kind of actor that could redefine that role. We've only had two Lex Luthers on screen before. There was Gene Hackman, and, you know, he was, you know, he played kind of a quirky version of the character, you know, to put it lightly. Another than that was Kevin Spacey, who kind of went the opposite direction, but at the same time still never felt like Lex Luthor. I think Bryan Cranston, though, has that it factor, that so he could actually pull that role off better than anybody else I can possibly think of. But I don't know. So Matt, if you could cast your dream Lex Luthor, who would it be?
I would actually agree with you tenfold on Bryan Cranston. That sounds like an awesome opportunity. I actually, since I've been hearing so many things about Ben Affleck becoming Batman, and I haven't really heard of anything other than that. But now that you actually bring Lex Luthor into the picture, that seems like a great opportunity, and I'm sure it would make an excellent Lex Luthor.
Yeah. So, moving on here, there's another piece of casting news that came out, I believe, yes, it was today, or yesterday, sorry, that they have casted the role of Ultron for the upcoming Avengers 2. They have picked James Spader. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with him. He's the kind of nerdy guy with the blonde hair and the glasses from Stargate, the movie, not the television show.
Oh yeah.
You guys, are you aware of him, Brett?
I love me some James Spader. What I know him from, though, is that old fucking lawyer show. I can't remember what it's called. What was that fucking show?
Oh, damn. No, I'm stuck too. I actually just saw it earlier today. Shit. I can't remember.
The Practice.
The Practice? Was that it?
I think so. It was The Practice, and then it changed to, like, Boston Legal or some shit. And he was on when it was The Practice, and I think he carried over into the spinoff. And he was great. Like, I didn't watch a whole ton of the show. I mean, I was young and didn't have cable. But I watched a decent amount, and he was fucking amazing in that show and made me an instant fan for life. So I'm excited. I definitely love to see him on screen.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of the movie Secretary?
Yes, I've seen it.
You've seen it? That movie.
Yes,
awesome.
I know he's in that too. Yeah. Agree.
It was actually Bethany who showed me that movie. Now, Matt, if you haven't seen it, it's a movie about this guy. He, you know, gets this secretary played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who I thought was cute in the movie. Normally, I'm not like too attracted to her because she kind of looks like Skeletor, in my opinion. But so he plays her secretary, and he's kind of he likes domineering games, and she likes to play along. It's kind of this this twisted, like, romance movie, extremely hot. Like I said, I give that one 8 boners out of 5. Definitely check it out if you get a chance. Yeah, let's see here. What else do we have? Have you guys heard about the Spawn reboot?
A little bit.
How about you, Matt?
No, I actually have not. I've always enjoyed the original Spawn movie that came out, what was that, 94, I want to say?
I think it was 98. I was in high school when that came out, 97, 98, something like that.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So the new one is going to be shooting in 2014, and they're saying that it's going to be more of a horror movie than a superhero movie, which I guess is okay. It's fucking Spawn. Were you a big Spawn fan, Brett?
I mean, I only saw the movie a couple times when I was younger, but I mean, I liked it. I never really read any of the comics or anything. I remember playing as him in Soul Calibur 2, but I'm down for more Spawn. Hell yes.
Yeah, and hopefully this one doesn't have what the hell was John Leguizamo in a fucking fat suit playing clown. That was just
clown.
Yeah, that was just wrong. All right, so I've been kind of putting off the big news of the week, and we all know what it is. Batfleck. Of course, Ben Affleck has been cast as Batman in the Superman Batman movie coming out in 2015. The movie also now has a firm release date of July 17th, 2015. I guess we'll just go around the table. Brett, what are your feelings on Ben Affleck being cast as Batman?
I'm not going to shit all over. I know everybody says, keep waiting, just wait for the movie, wait for the movie. And you know what, whatever, I'll wait for the fucking movie. I don't really like Ben Affleck, even before this. And he's not Batman. Like, I don't see it. And it's different. Everybody's like, oh, Heath Ledger and the Joker. And I'm sorry, that was different. Like, I don't know. I'll wait for the movie to pass final judgment, but I'm expecting it to not go over well.
What about you, Matt? What are your feelings on it?
I'm kind of mixed on that, just because I'm not a big Ben Affleck fan, and bringing him to one of my all-time favorite superheroes is just pouring salt on the wound, you know? I wasn't too big on them bringing Batman. I was intrigued into it, but then when they announced Ben Affleck, I just did a major sigh. But I will still absolutely see it.
Same.
Okay. I like Ben Affleck. I have for years and years. I don't have anything against him. I mean, yeah, he's been in some shitty movies. Most actors have. But seeing as the this isn't a standalone Batman franchise, and he's just part of a bigger concept of what is headed towards the Justice League, I give it a little bit more of a pass than I would if it was just him, you know, playing
okay.
Batman in a new set of movies.
Let me relate to you for a second here. When I first heard the news about Ben Affleck being cast, I was so upset. To me, it was as if to you that David Arquette was cast as Batman. Just let that sink in for a moment.
It couldn't have been that bad.
To me, it was.
Okay, I will admit, when I first heard it, I was like, what? And, you know, I have to take the wait and see, spot that everybody
Josh
else has.
Josh Brolin would have been so fucking good. I even saw somebody else say Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which if you guys don't know who that is, played the comedian Watchmen. He would have been fucking great too. And you got two great choices there, and Ben Affleck.
Yes, I mean I completely agree. This was not perfect casting, and I don't think anybody out there is really saying that it's perfect casting. But it could have been worse. I think I really do.
It could have been worse.
What's his fuck? Orlando Bloom was being thrown around as a possibility of being Batman. And that...
I heard Brad Pitt, too, and that would have been lame as well. Even though I like Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt's a great actor, that still would have been pretty fucking lame to have him as Batman.
Yeah. But like I was saying, it's not you know, Batman in a Batman series, it's Batman playing a part of a bigger thing. He's not going to be taking up a lot of screen time. Even in this movie, he's sharing the screen with what's his fuck, Superman.
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill, yes. So, to me, it's not that... It could be worse. I think that's just the line that everybody has to be saying, is that it could be worse. You know, whether or not you like Ben Affleck or not.
Okay, but remember this. Remember this. If the movie ends up being a failure, we're all going to think back to now and how it could have been that movie with Henry Cavill and Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor and Josh Brolin or Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Batman, and how awesome it would have been.
And I completely agree. I mean, yes, you are 100% right. If we all had our dream cast of what this movie would look like, it probably wouldn't be this. Like, hell, honestly, when they cast Cavill as Superman, I wasn't happy about that either. Like, I don't know. To me, just...
I thought he was great. I thought he was really good in the role, and like, in the movie.
I didn't think he was bad at all, but at the time, you know... Before the movie was shown, you had to think to yourself, well, they could have gone with somebody else. I'm sure there was somebody who was I won't say better actor, because that'd be putting his acting skills on a point. But I'm just saying somebody who maybe a bigger name, maybe somebody who could have carried the franchise a little bit further. Like all Superman movies, they've always kind of cast the unknowns in those roles. Sometimes
the thing is, I think it's harder to nail down bigger stars for longer periods of time in a franchise. I mean, look at Robert Downey Jr. You know, they've already talked about having to get a different Iron Man for, you know, any more sequels they want to do, and if they can re-sign him or not. And I think when you find those lesser known guys, it's probably easier to get them in a contract for a longer period of time. That's probably why they do it.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, we'll just continue to watch the news unfold on this, and come 2015, July 17th, 2015, I guess we'll all, you know, find out for ourselves, you know, whether or not this movie will now hold up with the casting choices that they've made.
Speaking of 2015. I just want to say there's a crazy amount of franchise movies coming out in 2015. Like, it's going to be completely ridiculous. There's going to be Avengers 2. We've got Batman Superman. The Star Wars movie's coming out. There's so many things, and it's going to be a packed year. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they space these movies out throughout the year, because you would think that all these movies would be like surefire, like summer blockbuster movies. And
I read that they're planning for Star Wars to actually be a Christmas movie.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know the exact reason behind it. I think it's maybe to give them more time to film and everything. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, they're talking about it being like maybe an early December release.
Okay. You're right about all these big franchises that year, though. It's going to be a great year to be a nerd, if you will. I think that pretty much does it for this episode, unless you guys had anything else that you wanted to touch upon.
I got one thing. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
I actually wanted to touch base on the whole, Ben Affleck. I was pretty skeptical when I heard that Christian Bale, Bale was actually going to be Batman in the first trilogy, but, you know, Zack Snyder and the producers and directors pulled it out. So I believe that there is potential for Affleck. I will actually hold that out there. That's all that I have to say about that.
I was actually the opposite on that. I'm a huge American Psycho fan, and when I heard that he was cast as Batman, I freaked the fuck out. There's a word for that, and it's called a Staplesgasm. I had many. What did you think about that, Brett? Like about
cast? I was pretty young at the time. I don't even know how old I was. I don't remember when the first Batman movie came out. I don't think I knew who he was at the time, but I mean, I'm a huge Christian Bale fan now. Like, I love all of his movies. He's a great actor. So I guess say I was excited when he was cast because I don't really remember it.
Have you guys ever seen the movie The Machinist?
Yes.
It's been a long time. Yeah, I have.
I think was probably some of his best acting work, and the fact that he lost like damn near 100 pounds or some shit, not 100 pounds, but like 60 pounds or some shit to play that role. He was like just a shell of a human being in that movie. And that just showed what an awesome actor that guy is. And the most amazing part was is that in the course of a year, he had to put all of his muscle mass back on because that's when he played Batman for the first time. It was in 2005 when Batman Begins came out. So I give that guy a world of props. I'm a huge fan.
I just want to throw out there. That is a movie that definitely shows his acting chops, but my favorite isn't one that really does. It's Equilibrium. It's such a good fucking movie. It's like The Matrix meets fucking Fahrenheit 451. It's so fucking good. If you guys haven't seen it, you definitely should.
You know, I think that's the one movie of his I have not seen. It's actually been sitting on my Amazon wish list for the better part of 3 years now. So I should probably get around to checking that out. It might even be on Netflix. I should probably look into
it. I think it is on Netflix.
And if not, I have AIB, and I'm sure it's on there. Was there anything else? Did you have something else you wanted to bring up, Brett?
Yeah, one more thing. Riddick comes out this week. I'm super freaking stoked. I'm probably going to the midnight show Thursday night. At least I'm hoping I am. So we'll have that to talk about next week. I'm super excited. I love the Riddick movies. And I'm totally pumped that this movie even happened because I didn't think it would for a long time. I mean, the last one came out a long fucking time ago.
I loved Pitch Black. As far as the movies after that, I wasn't like too fond of them. But this one does look great, and I'll probably check it out.
This one's more of a throwback
you?
To Pitch Black.
Yeah,
Pitch Black is definitely better, but I still like Chronicles.
What do you think about this, Matt?
Chronicles of Riddick and Pitch Black were amazing movies. Very well put together. A different genre than all your other, alter ego superheroes, Vin Diesel did a very amazing job until he did The Pacifier. He's an amazing actor until The Pacifier. He just tanked after that.
I'm not a very big Vin Diesel fan at all. Mostly, what was that, the Iron Giant that he did a voice in, of the Iron Giant? And if you guys haven't seen this video, it exists somewhere online. It's the voiceovers, when they're recording the voiceovers for that movie, it's fucking hilarious. He has a line he has to deliver, and it's rock tree. So he's like, rock tree. And they're like, the people producing they tell him, like, okay, can we get another take and a little bit more emotion? And he goes, rock tree. And it was exactly the same. Like, he did not change at all. And then he looks at the camera like, nailed it. I just think that guy's a fucking clown. But this movie looks pretty good, and I'll definitely be checking it out. Is there anything else do we want to bring up?
I'm out.
Okay, so we're going to end it for tonight, and we're going to go out with this week's Song of the Week. It was chosen by our guest host here, Matt. It's Fall From Grace, a song called Hated Youth. This is a local Seattle band, correct, Matt?
That's correct. They're friends of mine that went on tour with bands such as CKY. They just recently ended a tour with E6, another one of my favorite all-time bands. And they're really cool guys based out of Seattle. They won Bodog's Battle of the Bands back a couple of years ago. A $1 million contract with a recording company based out of Canada. Very good band. And, I just want to say I really enjoyed nerding out with you guys, and I'm can't wait to nerd the fuck out with you guys again.
All right. So live long, prosper, and nerd the fuck out. Time to hear our desperate call.